Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Luke chapter 2, talking about Advent, kind of building on last week. Advent being, again, this looking forward to something momentous that is about ready to happen. So when we apply Advent to Christmas, we are looking forward to what? The birth of Jesus, right? And it also has the secondary meaning that we are looking forward to his second Advent, which would be the second coming of Christ, right? The rapture, right? Where Christ will come back for his people will rule and reign with him in eternity. And so I want us to begin in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to begin with that, and then we're going to pray and dive in here. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Notice that babies don't always come when they're supposed to. Sometimes they come too soon. Sometimes they come later than we want to. Yeah, I think it was Mark. No, it was Daniel. Daniel's almost born at Burger King. All right. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she was wrapped in clothes, placed in a manger. He was. And because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, we give you the thanks and the praise this day. We just ask your anointing upon your word. May it become alive for us. We give you the thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, the birth of a child is always good news, isn't it? Right? You know, people will put up a sign in their yard saying it's a boy, it's a girl. Right? We put it on Facebook, social media, that a child has been born. It's good news. It's an exciting time. Family and friends, we look forward, and mom, especially, is probably feels that once it gets to that 9-month stage or leading up to it, it's kind of like it's time for this baby to be born, right? The body says it's time. You get uncomfortable, and it's time for this baby to be born. And it's truly a momentous occasion. And Advent, when we apply it to Christmas, it really talks about that they were, in the context of the Gospels, they were awaiting the birth of Jesus the Messiah. And some of them probably more than others. Some people were just probably going through life day to day under Roman oppression, thinking, yeah, you know, the Messiah is going to come at some point in time, but, you know, is it going to happen in our lifetime or not? We don't know. These prophecies have been written several hundred years ago. When is it going to happen? But there were some that were waiting. We're going to look at that. That were in tune with what God was saying and what God was preparing in the hearts and lives of people. And they were part of this momentous time when the Jesus, the Son of God, was brought into this world. But you can kind of sense this anticipation. We looked at Isaiah 9:6 last week, and today we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. These believers had waited. They'd struggled under Roman oppression. They were surviving, but they were, that would probably be a good word just to say, they were surviving. They were uncomfortable. They wanted their freedom. They wanted to be set free from their oppression. And they were waiting for the anointed one to be born. So let's look a little bit deeper here, verses 8 through 14. We're going to talk about the Advent, this momentous occasion. What were some of the events that surrounded this? So let's look at verse 8. It says, the shepherds were living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, shepherds, where were they on the social chain? Probably a little bit lower. Yeah, that's probably about right. Okay? But it's pretty cool that God would announce it to shepherds, right? Okay? They were living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. They were afraid. You know, just think about you were taking a walk at night. You're probably not walking your sheep. Maybe you're walking your dog, right? Or all of a sudden, you know, the sky lights up, and it's kind of like, woo! You know, it's not a lightning storm, a thunderstorm. It's angels. And you realize something's happening that's supernatural. You would have to be told to not be afraid as well. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. And, you know, these shepherds, they'd probably seen it all, right? They'd been, this isn't their first rodeo. This isn't the first time spending the night out in the dark, right? They'd been there before, so, but they hadn't experienced anything like this. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, not just you guys, but for all people. For today in the town of David, what is the town of David? Bethlehem, yep. A Savior has been born. He is the Christ. In other words, anointed one is what Christ means. Messiah, Christ, can be switched interchangeably. He has been born to you, the Christ. And so we even see at the beginning here that he is the anointed one, but we also, it brings about that redemptive idea that he would die on the cross for people's sin. Okay? And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Manger being basically a feeding trough for cows and sheep and goats. A humble atmosphere. And suddenly a great company, and now we have more angels, right? They fill the sky, and a heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace to men whom his favor rests. You know, how many would agree that that's kind of a step up from a fireworks show? You know, heavenly host of angels? You know, fireworks show's nice, but now you have the sky lit up with this heavenly host of angels, and they're singing. And I bet they sing pretty good, right? And their voices, their brilliance fills the sky, and the shepherds take this in, and it declares that the Savior had been born. And so the first principle in your program there is that this momentous occasion is first announced by who? By the angels. It's announced by the angels. God was not to be outdone. He wanted to announce this birth of his son into the world with great splendor. And so he sends the angels to announce it to these shepherds that a Savior had been born. Secondly, it says in verse 15, then the angels left them and went into heaven. After the angels had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off. They found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. Because that was going to be the sign, right? He'll be lying in a manger. That probably was not a very common thing. How many people would put your newborn boy or girl in a feeding trough? Probably not to me. So that was probably a sign that they were in the right place. And we know that they didn't have any place for them in the inn, so they were spending the night where? In a manger, which would be like a barn, a stall. Some even think it was a cave where the animals were kept. And so when they saw him, when they had a chance to see him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. Now they had witnessed seeing him, and it was confirmed in their mind, and so they told it to those who they saw. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Right? But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned praising and glorifying God for the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been said by the angels. You know, if they would have lived in our day and age, the shepherds would have probably, you know, they're getting the word out there, but they didn't have a smartphone, right? But if they would have had a smartphone, what would they have done? Right? They'd have taken a selfie, right? Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, right? I was there, right? You know what they would have. You know, they would have Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. It'd have been all over. The shepherds. This is pretty cool, you know. How many times, you know, these shepherds to be part of a pretty special moment, right? And they were part of it. Of course, they didn't have that. But as they took in and saw this child, and as they went down the streets, as they probably went out of Bethlehem, and the people they came in contact with, they had to have shared that with people that they saw. And you know what? The people were amazed. I'm sure some thought, you know what? You know, what kind of party were those shepherds just at? Okay, that's probably what some of them thought. And others thought, wow, could this really be the Messiah that the prophets have foretold would come? And there was probably a mixed response, but the people were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. And there was that excitement within the shepherds because it wasn't just a story that they were telling, but it was their story that they had experienced with their own eyes, with their ears, that they had taken in at that moment. And the second thing is that this momentous occasion was first of all announced by the angels, but it was proclaimed by who? By the shepherds. It was proclaimed by the shepherds. You know, and that's something that I believe that we should also do as well, that a lot of people know it's Christmas time, okay? That's probably a no-brainer for most people. You know, you can't, if you watch TV or anything like that, you can't get away that it's Christmas time, right? But that doesn't mean that people know the real story behind Christmas. That doesn't mean that they understand that God sent His Son. And it surely does not mean that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior and experience God's forgiveness and grace in their life. And so they need to know that story. Now, if it's just a story that you're telling, it's, you know, Pastor Brent says, you know, I'm supposed to tell other people about God and stuff like that. And so if I just go and tell people, hey, you know what, you know God loves you, and but there's no emotional excitement, I don't think it's going to really be very effective. But if you share what God has done in your life and how He's forgiven you of your sins and you tell them your story, that moment that you invited Christ into your life, that has power, and people will see that. Just as they saw it in the shepherds, they'll see it in you through your countenance, your smile, your energy. And they can't refute that, folks. They'll say, you know what, that's real, that's true. I want what they have. And so like the shepherds, we need to proclaim the story that Christ has been born and that He's alive. He's forgiven us of our sins. He took our place. We need to tell that story. Well, let's go on. A few days pass. Luke tells us on verse 21, it says that on the eighth day, when Jesus, it was time to be circumcised, Him, just as Jewish tradition. I think in our culture today, it's usually the day of birth or day after. But He was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given Him before He had been conceived. And then the time of purification came according to the law of Moses had been completed. For a woman giving birth, before she would be ceremonially clean to go into the temple to worship, there had to be a waiting time. And it was 33 days in Jewish custom. And as you go through the Old Testament, there was these codes, these rules for cleanliness, to go into to worship God, a ceremonial cleanliness. It was just to prepare our hearts to worship God. And so one of the things is if you had touched a dead person, there had to be a waiting period before you could go into the temple and be purified and clean before you could worship. If you touched blood, okay? And so for giving birth, okay, there's a little bit of blood involved in that usually. All right? Okay? You had to be purified. There was that 33 days. And so after that time is when Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to the temple for a twofold purpose. First, He would be consecrated because He was the first and oldest child. And so they would consecrate them to the Lord. Secondly, it was for her purification. declaring that she was clean to worship in the presence of God. And so that also entailed a sacrifice, an offering that they would bring. It could be anywhere from some doves to a sheep, a cow, that they would offer before God. Now, they offered what? What? Two doves, which symbolized that they were probably not very wealthy, because that's what they could afford. And so they provided two doves for her purification as an offering. So let's catch that. And when the time of purification, according to law, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as written in the law of the Lord. The firstborn of every male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and so to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He really gets this Advent thing. He was waiting. He was looking for it. He was expecting it to happen in his lifetime. And God had revealed it to him that he would not pass away until he had witnessed with his own eyes the Savior, the Christ child. And so he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light of revelation to who? The Gentiles. And for the glory of your people, Israel." And so, Simeon, it's revealed to him that this child would be the Savior for the whole world, right? For Jew and Gentile. That covers everybody. Either you're a Jew or you're Gentile or somewhere in between, right? All right? But it's going to be for the whole world. He'll bring salvation. He'll be a light. And Simeon was so excited because now he could go in peace. He had seen what his heart had been longing for most of his life. He had seen the Christ child, as God had revealed it to him. That was a pretty special moment. What's happened in your lifetime that's been kind of a special moment in your life? That you think back and think, man, that's kind of crazy that I was alive during this period of time to see that being witnessed and accomplished. Can you think of something? What is it? The wall coming down in Germany. Wow, so that happened. Yeah. What else? How many remember when the astronauts landed on the moon for the first time? Yeah, that happened during your lifetime. What else? Microwave oven, huh? That was kind of a turning point in history, huh? But you remember that, right? How many, anybody here remember the first telephone? Remember when you've got the first telephone, Joyce? Yeah, that was a pretty big moment, isn't it? Now today we all have one. We have our cell phones. We don't even think anything of it. Party lines, yeah. Yeah. Just think of the moments that have happened in history that you've been part of. And Simeon was privileged to be part of the moment that Christ would be born. You know what? And maybe you're going to be part of the moment when Christ returns. You ever thought about that? You could be part of the moment and time in history where Jesus returns for his church. It's pretty cool. The third point there in your program is that this momentous occasion was announced by the angels. It is proclaimed by the shepherds, and it was confirmed by Simeon through the Holy Spirit. It is confirmed by Simeon through the Holy Spirit. With all that was happening, the angelic appearances, you know what? You would think Mary and Joseph had enough confirmation. But I think if we would have been in their shoes, I think we would have needed all the confirmation we could get. And it was one more confirmation that this child was not any ordinary child, that he was the Son of God. And so it was confirmed by Simeon through the Holy Spirit that this child would bring salvation. He would be a light to the whole world of God's salvation and God's presence. But there's one more thing. As they probably were getting ready to leave the temple, verse 23, the child's mother and father, it was revealed. Simeon also says to them that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel to be a sign that would be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, referring to Mary. What was that sword that pierced her own soul? Yeah. As she was witness to him being crucified on the cross. Wouldn't that be hard as a mom? To see your son to die on a cross, a very cruel death. Her heart had to be crushed. Even though she had the confirmations that he was the Son of God, it had to crush her very heart and soul. But there was also a prophetess in the temple that day. Her name was Anna. She was the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. I like that name, Asher. And she was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years, and then he passed away. And now she was 84 years old, so she lived basically as a widow for much of her life, 7 years of married life. And she spent, because she was a widow, she kind of just lived at the temple day and night. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting, praying. Again, I get that sense, waiting for the consolation of Israel, for God to send forth his son. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. It was confirmed also in her heart that this child, whether I don't know if she heard Simeon's remarks or not, we're not told that, but she gives thanks to God and spoke of the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So God also confirms in her heart that this is the child. And when Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee, to the hometown of Nazareth. And the child grew up, became strong, and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so the fourth point is that this momentous occasion was announced by the angels, proclaimed by the shepherds, confirmed by Simeon through the Holy Spirit, and acknowledged with thanks by Anna. Acknowledged with thanks by Anna. Saying, thank you, God, that you sent us your son. You know, Christmas is a time we thank God like Anna, isn't it? We thank God that he sent his son, and we look forward to when God comes again, when Jesus comes again, the second advent. I'm going to have the musicians come. I pray that as we build up to Christmas, there's a lot of stuff that goes with Christmas, a lot of traditions, a lot of shopping, all that stuff. Nothing wrong with all that. But we can't lose the focus of what Christmas is about, right? And at times we just have to allow God to bring us back to what Christmas is all about. And as you celebrate in your homes, and with your families, that you really bring that message across. Parents, that's your calling. That's your job. TV's not going to do it for you. The society's not going to do it for you. That is your role as a parent. That as you gather to open up presents and to whatever traditions you have around that time, to weave Christ and the message of Christmas in to your activities. Not going to happen on its own. It's only going to happen as you become intentional about maybe gathering around, reading the Christmas story together, sharing what Christ means to you. You know, if your child is old enough, if they're 4 or 5, they're old enough to really reflect on what Christ means to them. And to take that moment, that time, to help them embrace what God did when he sent us his son. The story of Jesus isn't finished because he is coming again. And we have to build that within our hearts, that anticipation, that Advent, for that momentous occasion when he's going to come, that God's promise is fully realized of salvation. Amen. You bow your heads in prayer this morning. Father, this morning we just thank you that you sent us your Son, Jesus. And Lord, at times we can maybe become not so much callous, but maybe even numb to the story of what Jesus did for us and what Christmas is about. Too much is coming at us, too much stimulation, too much activity. And Lord, I pray that we can't forget the simple truth that God sent his Son to die on the cross for you and I, and to show us the way to God, and that we can know Jesus in a new and a real way, and that in our prayer closet, whether it's at morning, night, in the middle of the day, we can come before you and encounter the presence of God because God sent his Son. And in the times where we go our own way in our own sinfulness and our own disobedience, that is at the heart of being a human, that we can come to God and know your forgiveness and your holiness, and to know your grace and mercy that covers over all of our sin. To know that freedom, that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's because God sent his Son. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. Anna and Simeon, the promise was there in front of them, but it hadn't been realized. But today we look back and we see that this child would die upon the cross. Now he's with God in heaven and in our hearts. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this moment that we are a part of, to know your presence, to know your Holy Spirit in our lives, to know your grace and forgiveness, that people before Christ dying come into this world, they didn't know that feeling of grace and mercy like we do, and your presence of your Holy Spirit. So we thank you that we are part of this moment. Give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to sing this chorus together. How great is our God? Would you just take a moment just to, where you're at, create an altar to worship him? Victor and Yolanda and Josh and Karen are going to be at the back. If you want prayer this morning, they will be back there to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. And they'll be heading back there. But let's sing this together. How great is our God? That he would send his Son to us.